Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 92.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help as many interested people around the world learn and improve at jazz piano by providing structured and organized jazz piano education. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for joining me today. This is going to be episode number 92. We're getting up to 100. In this episode, I'm going to be covering the basics of minor 251 improv. We have had a lot of requests for this recently, just about minor 251 voicings, how to play them, how to approach them, improvisation, extensions, and whatnot. So I'm going to be covering the basics today. This is going to be a series, maybe one more episode, maybe three episodes altogether. And hopefully this will give you more insight into how to tackle the minor 251 harmony. It's definitely kind of more of that mystical thing. I mean, you see a lot of information, obviously, about major 251s. A lot of people sound solid over that. And then you come up in a chart, right? If you're reading a chart, you come up to that minor 251, and you're like, it's a little fishy. It's like, it's hard for our ear to hear those sounds. But that's what I'm going to be going over in today's episode. Now, I'm kind of excited today. Obviously, you can kind of tell I'm having a hard time catching my breath. I'm trying to talk so fast. But if this is your first time listening to the Jazz Piano School podcast, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com/look-inside to find out more information about my personal education philosophies, how Jazz Piano School can help you, about the membership we offer in our main course curriculum, and the other educational products we have available. So that is the first thing. And also let you guys know, we're really kind of vamping up our content calendar and publishing process and processes, I guess I should say, to try and release more content. I really want to, we're really kind of working to release content regularly, blog posts, obviously this podcast. We're talking about starting another podcast as well. Lots of different forms of free, valuable content that you guys are going to be able to get your hands on. And obviously, we email the content out to our email list on a weekly basis, the podcast and our blog articles. And obviously, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com and find the podcast, you know, by going under resources and going to podcasts and find all the podcasts there as well. But we do email it out, and we're going to be getting some new writers on, some new blog post writers, doing some different types of posts, reaction posts, some behind the scenes things from some of our other staff members. So we're really kind of picking up the free content. I'm super excited about this because I believe it's really going to appeal to a lot of different people in different ways, the way you digest the information. I mean, I've come across so many different types of people who enjoy one thing but don't enjoy the other, right? So they love the podcast, but they don't really like the blog posts. There's some other people love the blog posts, but they think the podcasts are boring, just sitting here listening to me talk and do the lessons. So, you know, everyone's different. I completely understand that. So we're going to try and put out so much different types of content that you can get access to. Obviously, you can follow the podcast on YouTube. We're going to be publishing to our Facebook page, Jazz Piano School, and just trying to give as much free content as possible out to all you guys listening, and to spread the word, just spread the valuable knowledge that we have to everyone, to help everyone else as much as possible. So really excited about that. And we're also going to be starting more of a Jazz Piano School lab type of membership area. Right now we have a main course curriculum that you can access and join, which is, you know, a lot. It's kind of overwhelming, actually, because it's 600 videos. It's just one huge journey, right? So it's all structured and organized. And that was my main priority when I started Jazz Piano School, because that's what I felt that I needed in my Jazz Piano School journey when I was learning. I wanted just a plan. I wanted a plan and a map to follow. That took me from, you know, the very beginning points of learning jazz, which is the course is built for, all the way up into a point where, you know, I was playing gigs, I could play solo piano and do and improvise and was satisfied, right? And throughout my journey, I felt that it was just all bits and pieces, and it was all unstructured and unorganized. And basically I had to, you know, search for the needle in the haystack. And that's what I wanted to stay away from. I wanted to help others is create a curriculum that really allowed you to just follow this thing step by step and bring you to the point where you're filling in all your holes. You're really becoming a complete rounded player instead of kind of, you know, just scrapping through a junk heap, trying to like build your own car kind of thing, you know, and that's always how jazz piano has felt to me. But now what I'm realizing is that I've kind of consulted with Dr. Joe Gilman, who's an amazing, amazing pianist. He lives in Sacramento. He's going to be helping me with the course, and we're going to kind of be working together to improve it and, you know, make it available for as many people as possible, obviously, but really, really refine it so that you're getting the long education string if that's what you want, but at the same time you can really go off and kind of a create your own adventure type of thing. Whereas there's so many different types of levels and in different ways you can approach jazz piano, right? So for me, just to say, okay, this is the be-all end-all curriculum. I mean, if you go through the curriculum, guaranteed you will be a very, very successful player. But truly, that's not exactly what everyone wants, right? Now, I remember back in my day, I did want that, but at the same time, I wanted specific info, and the course gives you that specific info, but it's kind of hard to get to that point. I mean, you have to work through a lot of curriculum first, and you're going to be plugging holes, but you build up to that. Now, a lot of us, myself included, we want things fast, and especially in this day and age, you know, we want things instantly to happen, right? So we want to get that information on comping. We want to get this specific little information on improv, or how do I really increase the effectiveness of my improv over bebop or over rhythm changes, right? Or how do I voice two-hand voicings so that I understand a process to take to make two-hand voicings? So what I'm going to be creating, what the team and I is going to be creating, is more of a lab type area with different modules. So these are going to be more like upgrade plans that are going to be a membership area, or they're going to be one-off. So if you just are just looking to really understand in depth and get a science for creating two-hand voicings, let's just say, you can do that, right? And you can find our two-hand voicings plan. If that's all you want, that's what you can get, right? Or if you're looking for, you know, a plan on, let's say, like I said, mentioned before, improv over random chord changes, you know, how would you tackle that, right? So this lab is going to have a lot of different, really specific modules, and it's not going to be like the, what's kind of some of the other examples that other sites have, like advanced blues playing or pop rock module. You know, I really want these to be, I'm all about the science. I'm about the science of jazz piano, the formulaic method, right, of learning jazz piano, and I want the modules to be like that. It's just very specific subjects. So it's not just generalities, right? About like the blues, you know, if we're going to put blues modules out there, but it's going to be like exact science, you know, how to reharm the first four measures of the blues to get the gospel sound, you know, and how to voice it exactly. So we're driving and moving towards specifics. So if you do have those holes and you want the instantaneous gratification and education to really upgrade that instantly, you can purchase that or become a member and get access to all of them and really kind of fill these holes systematically and then use that at the same time as you're moving through the main course. And as Dr. Joe Gilman and I talked about, this kind of branching off, create your own adventure roadmap would really be the best course for the student, because it's kind of like an a la carte service where you can pick and you know, choose what you want. Now, originally, sorry, I'm talking so much today, but a lot of plans I'm excited about. Originally, I had kind of strayed away from that, the library method, because in a sense, that's still kind of, I don't like it because it puts you guys in charge, right? It puts you in charge of your learning, which I don't agree with, because you should have an instructor saying what you need. I mean, you need more of an assessment from a professional to tell you what you need in your journey. I mean, it's similar to going to the car mechanic and telling him, yeah, this is what I need done on my car. Now, if you're at that level where you know cars well enough, then you probably could do the work yourself, but you're just hiring out someone to do it for you, but you know exactly what needs to be done. And probably 99% of us aren't at that level, right? So it'd be like the 99% who aren't at that level. Like if I was to go into a car mechanic and be like, yeah, this is what I need done, I mean, I'm probably going to be completely off. So if you're a student learning jazz piano and you go into a library or a course library on another online jazz piano website and you say, oh yeah, I want to learn about blues improv, you may want to learn about blues improv, but that necessarily isn't exactly what you need to fill your specific holes. You know, us as students, we don't know what we don't know, right? So for us to just go into a library and choose what we think we need, we're probably wrong. You know what I mean? So like most of the time when I'm trying to learn something in the subject I'm not experienced at, it's not a good idea for me to go and hunt around in a library of videos trying to find what I think I need to know, because I probably don't know what I need to know, if that makes sense, right? If you go to a gym, you want to get a personal trainer if you can afford it, right? Obviously, that's more of an expense, but you pay for professional guidance and service to get you to a place of education. Maybe they build out a plan for you, or they let you know these are the exercises you're going to need, right, to get you the most efficient, safest way to reach your goals, and they build your plan out. Whereas so many of us go to the gym, right, and we just kind of, you know, meander around like picking machines and stuff because we think we need to, you know, that's what we need, or, you know, we want to, you know, get bigger arms or like lose fat or something like that. And so we think we need to do a lot of sit-ups when actually we probably don't even know what we need. So that was a long analogy, but originally I had stayed away from the library method, but as I talked to Dr. Gilman, you know, we talked about this, the science of kind of using both in conjunction with each other. So I've already built the main course, which is a 600 video main course. I mean, being used in institutions right now, and more so, we're going to be using it in more colleges and high schools and schools. Studios will be picking that up as well. But using that in conjunction, excuse me, with an a la carte method, where, you know, if a student comes, say, yeah, start moving through the course, but also work on these a la carte services, you know, the two-hand comping voicing method, the reharm blues method, you know, for the gospel sound on bars 8, 9 through 12, and you can kind of add these certain topics into your lesson plan systematically along with the main course, which really kind of builds the ultimate custom learning path for you, right? Where you are in your jazz piano journey, because it's all about customizing the science as much as possible to fit your specific need and build around the holes that you have personally, right? To really get you to the highest level in the shortest amount of time possible so that you're playing and you're happy and you're satisfied and you're enjoying this music that we all love by sitting down and really fulfilling your dreams and feeling content, you know, sitting down and just being happy, like, wow, I can actually do this, right? That's what I would love to hear all the users and students say. It's like, wow, I actually feel like I'm making progress. I love when students say that, because it gives me a great sense of accomplishment that I've helped you to achieve that happiness. So anyway, we're moving towards that, and that's what we're going to start building, as well as more specialty courses. Got a lot of stuff coming up. It's really exciting. I'm really excited about that. So let's get into, that's for all the podcast listeners that like hearing about the background info to Jazz Piano School. But let's dive right into the minor 251 basics. Here we go. So with the minor 251 basics, this is going to be more or less kind of talking about the theory. But for our minor 251s, if we take a minor 251, for example, the first chord, a minor 7 flat 5 chord. Now, this chord, okay, is going to be the 2 chord in our minor 7 flat 5. Now, without going, there's so much harmony behind minor harmony theory, because there's lots of different types of minor scales, and out of those different types of scales come lots of chords. Now, when we're talking about major diatonic harmony, we're using one scale, major scale. Right? C major scale, for example. Now, from this scale, we build different chords using the chord tones from that scale. Our 1 chord, our 2 chord, right? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 1 again. Okay? So there's 7 diatonic chords that come from the 1 major scale. When we get into minor harmony, there's more than one minor scale, right? So the three different types of minor scales we have is going to be natural minor, which is going to take on the flat 3, flat 6, flat 7, and 1. Okay. We also have melodic minor. And we have harmonic minor. Right? So three different types of minor scales. Okay. So how they differ, I said it before, but the natural minor has the flat 3rd, flat 6, flat 7. Harmonic minor is going to have the flat 3rd, flat 6, natural 7. So we only have flat 3 and flat 6 in that scale. Melodic minor only has flat 3. Now, because this we have three different scales, essentially we have three different sets of diatonic chords that link to each of the scales. So that means essentially we have 21 different chords. Okay, now I'm not going to be getting into all that today because that's a lot of minor harmony theory. But I am going to go over the different chords we use for a minor 251. So the first chord we're going to use is going to be our minor 7 flat 5 chord. So 1, 3, flat 5, and 7. All right. Now, the scale associated with this minor 7 flat 5 chord is going to be coming from our natural minor scale. So what does that mean exactly? Well, if I play my C natural minor scale, that's going to fit or link with my minor 7 flat 5 chord. Okay? So just to move up one step, if this is my chord from my natural minor 7 chord, actually, this may get a little confusing. Here's my 1 chord. Here would be my 2 chord. So from my C natural minor, my minor 2, 5, 7 chord, that's where it's coming from. So essentially, all you really need to know is that for improvisational purposes, we're going to be using a C natural minor scale. Now, in order to think about this more clearly or relate it to our minor 7 flat 5, essentially, we're going to be playing that C natural minor scale, again with the flat 3 and the flat 6, but we're going to be starting it from D and ending it on D. So I'm playing the same scale, but I'm just going to start on the second degree of the scale and end again on the second degree of the scale. So here's the original scale starting from C. I'm going to now start it from D. Right? So this fits and adds all of our chord tones from our minor 7 flat 5. Okay? So we're using the C natural minor starting from D to D. Okay? Now again, this is the basics of how I want you to envision this. This is a very basic level, okay? There's lots of names to this, right? Just like in diatonic harmony, there's Ionian, Dorian, things like that. I'm not going to get into all that today because I want to keep this as simple as possible. But in order to start you out, this is how I want you to think about it. We're using C natural minor starting on the 2 and ending on the 2. So C natural minor starting on the 2. So now to improvise, I use that scale, right? And again, I'm taking our chord tone strategy, so I want to focus on chord tones on the downbeats with the linking individual notes in between on the other beats, right? So that is all you should know really at this point about that, and I'm going to talk about that later. Now, when we get to the 5 chord, our 5 dominant chord is going to take on certain extensions, okay? Now, our 5 dominant chord is going to be associated with the C harmonic minor scale, which is essentially just the flat 3 and just the flat 6. Okay? So my dominant 7 chord, and essentially, again, it's just the dominant 7 chord, but we need to add in certain extensions to enable it to be a minor sound. Okay, if that makes sense. If I just play this, it's going to sound, it can be coming from like a major or a minor. But the harmonic minor scale we're going to use, again, is our C harmonic scale. But we're going to start it on the 5th degree and go to the 5th degree. And that's how it's going to link to our chord. Sorry. All right. So with that, that creates our, if as you can see, we get certain extensions or characteristics from that scale. Immediately you should know we're going up to this note here, the A flat, which creates a flat nine sound over our dominant chord. We also move up to the flat 13 here, which gives us another characteristic. And then that's it. The rest of it's more of a Mixolydian scale, right? But we do have the flat nine. We have this jump here to the third, gives it a very distinguishable sound, flat 13, and then up to the one, right? So I'll talk about voicing that in a second, but that is the scale that we'd use to improvise over this chord. Right? Then finally, we resolve our minor 2-5-1 going to a minor major 7 chord. All right, so again, you might be confused, like what are the types of chords exactly in a minor 2-5-1? The first one is a minor 7 flat 5. The second one is going to be a dominant 7, but like I just played the scale, it's going to be a dominant 7 with a flat 9 and flat 13. Okay, those extensions are very important to the chord because they link up with that with the harmonic minor scale, right? Our C harmonic minor scale, starting from the G to the G. And the reason we start from G to G is because it matches the root of the chord, right? Of our 5 chord. Okay, then finally, so that's a dominant 7, flat 9, flat 13. You need to have that over your dominant chord in a minor 2-5-1 to make it part of the minor 2-5-1. So you always want to have flat 9, flat 13 in your chord to essentially grab the minor sound. You always need that. I'll talk about some of that in a second. Our last chord is going to be our minor major 7 chord. Okay? And so again, you may think, we can use C minor 7. Well, technically, you can use a minor 7 to end with, but more of a true minor 2-5-1 is going to end with a minor major chord, just like you see in Autumn Leaves, minor major 7, right? Now again, like I said before, this is coming from a melodic minor scale. The reason we link chords and scales together is because they are harmoniously connected by harmony. You can build chords from scales, and you can also get scales from chords. Okay, kind of like letters and words. I mean, you can build words with letters, and you can also take letters out of words as well. They connect interchangeably almost in a certain way to use them back and forth when learning a language, right? And that's how chords and scales connect. So here's our melodic minor, C melodic minor. Now you'll notice our one chord is C, so we don't have to move the scale, you know, to the 2 or to the 5. We can just start it from the 1, and we get the characteristic sound of that chord. So we take our chord tones, 1, 5, 3, and natural 7, and this gives us our 1 sound. And again, the scale associated is going to be our minor major. So when I'm soloing, again, I focus on my chord tones, but I use the other notes within the scale. Whoops, my note's sticking there on my keyboard. Okay, so melodic minor, that's the sound you get from melodic minor. It's kind of this haunting, eerie minor sound. That's what that major 7 adds to it. Very beautiful, right? Characteristic sound. So we have a full minor 2-5-1 now. So we have our minor 7 flat 5, right? Going to our dominant 7. Now remember, we want the flat 9 and the flat 13 in there to make it a true minor sound. Here's what it sounds without it. Now this still works, right? I'm not saying it doesn't, but adding in these certain extensions, which I'll show you in a second, really kind of adds to the sound. Whoops, sorry. I added a major third down there. So then we finally have our minor major sound. Now voicing wise, like this is where the kind of scale comes into play. If I'm soloing, absolutely, I can just play a dominant 7 chord and that will work. I'm not implying any of the extensions here. I would only imply the extensions in my solo. Right? So it's definitely possible to leave those out. Now, for my minor 7 flat 5, again, what I'm playing here is just an inversion, okay? I don't want to get into too much of voicings now, but I do want to give you just one set of voicings here. Now, from my voicing here, this is just first inversion of my minor 7 flat 5, D minor 7 flat 5 chord. In order to imply some of the sounds, right, the characteristic sounds of our harmonic minor scale, we want that flat 9 and flat 13 because those stand out. So from here, our voicing is going to change to this. Now, as you hear, we now have the flat 9 and flat 13 in our voicing, okay? So this is a rootless, dominant flat 9, flat 13 chord. So here we do have the root in here, and I'll get into that probably not this episode, but later on. Moving to finally, again, another rootless minor major 7. So this is kind of the typical A-B voicings, if you will, or rootless voicings of a minor 7 flat 5 chord. Now, even though the first chord doesn't contain that, you can sub this out for the 9 here, the flat 9 in your minor 7 flat 5 chord. Now, a lot of people you'll see this. You'll be like, Brendan, why aren't you playing the natural 9? The natural 9 is available. Okay, but the reason the natural 9 is used more as an extension is because the major 3rd in your key center, and we're playing in the minor key of C. Now, the minor key of C, the minor sound that creates minor is the 3rd, right? So when you throw that E natural in there, you're actually getting more of a major sound. Now, is that okay? Yes, absolutely, because it's serving as more of a minor, a minor extension here, right? To add that natural 9 sound, right? You'll hear this voicing a lot instead of the minor 3rd. And now people kind of really confuse this, right? Well, I never use the flat 9. I've always been taught to use the natural 9. That's completely okay. I mean, that's a different type of sound, but you should know the flat 9 is the basic roots of minor 7 harmony because it's pulling from your natural minor scale, right? And it stays consistent throughout all three chords. So you want to know when you do play that natural 9, you're kind of negating the minor sound of C minor because it's the major 3rd of C, right? It creates a major sound. But is it okay to play? Absolutely. It's a great sound and I use it all the time when soloing. So I may play this voicing and have the natural 9 on my D minor 7 voicing. I love that sound, right? So that's a fantastic sound to use, and you can absolutely use it all the time. You just want to know how to use both, okay? Essentially, that's what I would try and relate to the message. Now, again, on our rootless here, we'd simply use our harmonic minor. And then to our melodic minor scale. Right over our minor major 7. And again, my rootless voicing here is going to be 3, 5, 7, natural 9 on top. Okay? So for minor 7 harmony, this is what I'm thinking. Here's my basic inversion here. Harmonic minor. Now again, there's certain characteristics you can change about this as well. Using the sharp 9, using the sharp 9 is getting away from the harmonic sound, but it works as well. So these are kind of again like progressions or alternate tools you can use. More of an altered sound having the sharp 9 in there instead of just the harmonic sound. So they're tools. Like you can use that tool or the other tool. It's up to you, right? But if I want to stick to the harmonic sound, I would skip the sharp nine and just have flat nine, three, and then continue upward, okay? So, and then again, melodic minor, right? Again, and then in the essential components of this are going to be that major seven, right? The only difference between Dorian and melodic minor is one note. So you'd think you'd want to focus on really targeting that one note so you can hear the difference between the two. Otherwise, there's not really any difference. So if there's one note that's different, focus on that one note, right? You know? So that is basic the basics of minor seven harmony. Excuse minor seven of minor harmony, minor 2-5-1 harmony. So you can go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast92 to get the printouts of the scales that connect with the chords, and you'll be able to see the voicings as well, structured out and written, so that you can download those and practice them in all keys. The voicings will just be in C, but then obviously you can learn the knowledge, and then you can practice playing it through the keys and then improvising with the scale targeting chord tones. So that will be super helpful. Now, in the next episode, I'll get into more extensions, two-hand voicings, uses of the extensions, and in more improvisational techniques with different types of tools, like I was talking about the alter, to using the natural nine, and even some uses of different extensions over the melodic minor sound that you can use to really create these kind of out sounds, you know, that are going to sound just completely kind of, you know, new to you possibly, or maybe you're used to these types of sounds, but to get you away from kind of the standard bebop approach style of minor harmony. Okay. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Again, go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast92 to download the practice materials. And in the next episode, I will go over that stuff. Hope you guys enjoyed this. Until next time, happy practicing.